Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Chulin Daf Kuf Dalet, Chulin 104, and on 104b, our Mishnah discusses the prohibition of bringing together oaf, which is fowl, with cheese on the table together. Earlier in Mishnah, I talked about the fact that one is not allowed to bring meat and cheese on the table together, but now our Mishnah is going to discuss whether or not there's a prohibition of bringing fowl and cheese on the table together. So says our Mishnah, first recording the position of Beit Shammai, ha'of oa emagvina ala shulchan, that one is allowed to bring together the cheese with the fowl on the table together. Ve'eno nechol. However, one is not allowed to eat them together because there's a rabbinic prohibition against eating fowl and cheese. That is a position of Beit Shammai, whereas Beit Hillel is strict. Beit Hillel says, lo ola ve'lo nechol. Beit Hillel is of the position that indeed, not only are we not allowed to eat them together, we're also not allowed to bring them on the table together. So, says our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Zo Mikulei Beit Shammai Umechumrei Beit Hillel. This is an example of what is a leniency of Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai allows you to bring them on the table together, but an astringency of Beit Hillel, that generally speaking, in most disputes in the Talmud between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai is the one who is strict, and Beit Hillel is the one who is lenient. And indeed, that is one of the reasons why we, generally speaking, follow Beit Hillel. However, under this circumstances, we're saying Beit Shammai is in fact going to be the lenient one because he allows one to bring fowl and cheese on the table together, and whereas Beit Hillel prohibits it. And says our Mishnah, Be'ezeh Shulchan Amru, what table are they talking about? Be'shulchan She'ochol Lav, the table that one is eating, because there is going to be concern that people are eating, maybe they're going to put the meat and the cheese together on the same plate and they're going to make a mistake. However, Avol B'Shulchan She'Soder Lav Satav Shil, No Sein Zeh B'Tzeh Zeh Ve'Eino Choshesh, with the actual table which they're actually going to be eating it, where they're just arranging it, then we're not concerned that it's going to come to cause somebody to eat, and that would be permitted. So our Gemara discusses what is actually the dispute between Rabbi Yosi and the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma is the author of the Mishnah, who lays out the fact that Beit Shammai is lenient and Beit Hillel is strict with respect to placing the cheese and the fowl on the table together. And all Rabbi Yosi says is that this is one of the leniencies of Beit Shammai and the stringencies of Beit Hillel. So what is he adding to the discussion? He's just really reframing or reformulating the position of the Tanna Kamma. So explains our Gemara, indeed, that Rabbi Yosi is in fact really not adding anything to the position of the Tanna Kamma. It's really just a restatement of the Tanna Kamma's position, and that's because Rabbi Yosi is a Tanna Kamma. That's what our Gemara says. Hakamash Malan Man Tanna Kamma. So why does our Mishnah record the position of Rabbi Yosi? It's to tell us who is this Tanna Kamma, who is the one who taught the dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. That is indeed Rabbi Yosi. And so if that's the case, why does it need to say it? Why does it need to tell us that Rabbi Yosi is the author of our Mishnah? Explains our Gemara, because we have a principle called Omer Davar B'Shem Omro. Whoever says something in the name of the person who taught it to them, Mevi Ge'ula L'Olam, they are in fact indeed bringing redemption to the world, as it states in the, and we learn this concept from the book of Esther in chapter 2, verse 22, where it says that after Mordechai heard about a plot to kill Achashverosh, and he told it to Esther, Vatomer Esther L'Melech B'Shem Mordechai, that Esther said it to the king in the name of Mordechai. And because Esther was careful to say it to the king in the name of Mordechai and bring Bigson and Teresh to justice and to stop the plot, that eventually brought redemption to the world, because that was later on going to bring the downfall of Haman. So that's why we see our Mishnah is being strict about this and is telling us that Rabbi Yosi indeed is the one who is the author of our Mishnah. So this concept of requiring to record something in the name of the one who taught it disappears in the Shuta Parkasata Da'anya, which he was asked about the concept of what the Satmar Rebbe was talking about in the name of the Sefer Chasdei Avos, all about all questions that arise under this situation. And so this is brought down in the Aliba de Hilchasa at the end of the Masif de Shas. And there are certain situations where we have questions about to what extent do we apply this principle principle of bringing redemption to the world by saying something in the name of one who taught it. First of all, one question is, let's say you say the same thing as your colleague, you come to the same conclusion as your colleague from whom you heard the teaching, but you have a different explanation as to why you got there. There's a different reasoning behind it. Are you still required to say it in the name of the one who taught it? Another question which arose was, let's say the person who told it to you says, repeat it and don't mention my name. You don't have to mention my name, just repeat it. If that also is going to be required for you to say it, because we know that the Midrash Tanhuma says one who says something in the name of somebody else and doesn't repeat it is like a thief. Well, if that's the case, if you're like a thief, we generally say that a thief who says you can take it, he's moichel, he says, don't worry, it's not stealing, then you don't have to return it. So maybe if the person says, don't repeat it in my name, don't mention me, maybe it's okay. And the third question that comes up was, let's say you have such new insights that it's almost like so far removed from the original idea. Are you still required to say it? So in all of these cases, the conclusion was that you are required to say it. First of all, let's say you have a different reasoning. So say I came to the same conclusion as him, but I have a different reasoning. And the idea of what if it's theft and he's Michael on it, we'll say no, because we see that the whole concept is that redemption comes to the world. And so therefore you're bringing the redemption by saying it in his name. And second of all, we also have the idea that you're stealing from the other people who are listening to you because they think it was your idea. And the third idea is that even if you have a new idea that really comes from it, you should still say the source of the idea that got you thinking on it. So even though it's removed in all these cases, it's still the proper thing to say the person who started you thinking about these ideas.